During the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." And when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." And after they had heard the king, they went on the way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. We're going to take up our offering as we sing, "Brightest and Best Are the Sons of the Morning." Bittersweet symphony, that's life. In fact, the song turned out to be bittersweet because the guy who wrote it lost all the royalties from it because he breached the copyright of the guy who wrote the arrangement. So for him it was a bittersweet song, even though it went to the top of the charts. It didn't work out quite like he'd expected. Early on this year, and I think it was the year before, and I have used it about once or twice this year, I've repeated a story at communion time that I heard from Phil Jump, our regional minister. And it's interesting that a number of people still often come up to me and say, "Peter, I've never forgotten that story you told." So if you are visiting us, please let me share it with you. It's a story I share at communion time, and it's about a man who was living in Hong Kong, and he had a very beautiful antique Chinese plate. there was an accident, and the plate broke, and he was deeply disappointed and upset. And he asked what he should do with it, and they said, "You must take it to such and such a man. He is the expert at mending these things." So he took it to the man, and the man looked at it very carefully. He said, "Yes, I can fix this. But do you want it fixed the Chinese way or the British way?" And the man said, "Well, what's the difference?" And the plate repairer said, "Well, in a British way, I'll fix it so that you won't be able to see the crack. It will look perfect." He said, "Well, what's the Chinese way?" He said, "Well, in the Chinese way, I'll still fix it together, but I will edge the crack with gold, because the crack is part of the plate's history." And I always think that when we come to the communion table, we come as broken people. And God fixes us, but you know, God fixes us in the Chinese way. He edges our suffering with gold. It's part of our history. We don't come to the communion table pretending that we're all together. I know we're all scrubbed up and looking good in our Sunday clothes. We've all got, and somebody once said, we've all got our Sunday faces on. I know that's true. But in our hearts, it's not like that, is it? We bring with us a history of many joys, but we bring with us too a history of suffering, of disappointments, of failures. We bring with us the cracks. And God in his grace gilds our cracks with gold. And God says, that's part of your history. And I love you with all your cracks, with all your disappointments. And one of my great favourite singers, songwriters of all time, it shows my age, I know, as a guy who's even older than me now. Well, he's always been older than me, actually, but and he's still alive, still singing. A poet and a singer called Leonard Cohen. And he has a song. The line is, ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. So I invite you this morning to be honest with God. There are cracks in your life. There are imperfections in your life. The message of Christmas is that God loves the imperfect. God loves you and he loves me, cracks and all. It's about learning to love the imperfect. I'm beginning to see more and more as I get older that Christian faith is the spirituality of the imperfect. One of my favourite films stars Kate Winslet and Jim Carrey. It's called The Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. If you don't like science fiction, give it a miss. But it's a science fiction based film in which in the future they learn how to erase people from your memory. So if you fall out with somebody, if you fall out with your lover, you can go and have them erased from your memory. You have to tell all your friends that you've erased them from memory in case they mention them, because you won't know who they're talking about. And Kate Winslet and Jim Carrey play two characters who fall in love and then fall out of love. And I won't give the plot away, but it's some wonderful acting in it. And Jim Carrey doesn't play one of his comic characters. It's a straight role. And he says the film is about the spirituality of the imperfect. It's about learning to love the imperfect. That's what real relationships are built on, isn't it? I say, and the married people here say, amen to that. It's loving the imperfect. Ask my wife. You know? And the secret of spiritual growth is to accept and love the imperfect. There's a Catholic theologian called Hroar, and he tells this story about the Navajo Indians in America. Richard Rohr says this, in a Navajo rug, there's always an imperfection woven into the corner. And interestingly enough, it's where the spirit moves in and out of the rug. The pattern is perfect, and there's one part of it that clearly looks like a mistake. Perfection is not the elimination of imperfection. That's our Western either-or needs to control thinking. Perfection, rather, is the ability to incorporate imperfection. There's no other way to love. You either incorporate imperfection or you fall into denial. That's how the Spirit moves in or out of our lives. That's where God's power begins to work in me. Don't waste your time trying to be perfect before God. God doesn't expect you to be perfect. He's under no illusions about you. He knows you're imperfect. He knows the mistakes. He knows the messes you've got yourself into, the damage you've caused, and the upset you've created. He knows all that. He knows that you're going to go to work this week, you're going to go back to work, and you're going to make mistakes. He knows that. He knows you're going to work into your family and make mistakes. He knows that. But he wants to come into your life and love you and work through these mistakes with you. Some Christians are such perfectionists, they leave no room for God. Accept your limitations and you'll be stronger. We're celebrating the wise men. You can call them the wise men if you like. You could call them the bungling astrologers who nearly got the Messiah killed. You could call them that too. Because both are true. Both are true. They nearly got the baby Jesus slaughtered. Only by a dream that they avoided delivering Jesus to his death before he was very old. Bungling. Not so wise, wise men after all. 2012 actually was a honey year for me, I must be honest. It has been a honey year. And one of the good things that we've done is we began a Bible course in Rosensee called The Bible Unzipped. It was my privilege to teach the opening class on that. And I was working through the patriarch Abraham. And in towards the end of January, we're going to begin looking at his grandson, Jacob, in our evening services. And I quoted Karen Armstrong talking about the great patriarch Abraham. And this is what she writes. Faith was neither easy, comforting, nor life-enhancing. The divine did not reveal itself to Abraham in lucid, incontrovertible apparitions or in clearly defined doctrines. Abraham had a constant struggle to make sense of his circumstances, catching at best glimpses of the sacred that sometimes seemed baffling and even hostile. Blessing was neither effortlessly bestowed nor effortlessly received. Abraham's story was dominated by anxiety about the promise, which seemed constantly in danger of miscarrying. As I said to our class, Abraham's relationship with God was more the time traveler's wife than a Jane Austen love story. God dropping in and out of his experience and then disappearing for long periods as Abraham struggled to work out how this promise could possibly work the way things were going. Do you want to grow spiritually this year? Well, learn to love the imperfect. Accept that there's going to be honey and there's going to be lemon. Acknowledge that you're going to get it right and you're going to get it wrong. Acknowledge that there are going to be moments when God's glory will blaze in your heart. And there's going to be moments when God seems a million miles away. That's life. That's how we grow as we learn to weave, to see God weaving our life together in his patterns in 2013. It's a bittersweet symphony, but it's still a symphony for all that.